You can help support the channel by heading to our merchandise store and picking up some of our great aircraft designs created by our graphic designer. We have everything from fighters to transport aircraft, which you can choose to have printed on t-shirts, mugs, stickers, and much, much more. Head to the description below and click the links and pick up your design today. Thank you and enjoy. You also became the demo pilot with the F-16. How did this role come about?
Yeah, that was pretty much at the same period during prior and after my tour in Afghanistan. You know, we had, I think every squadron had a display pilot, and the one prior to me, he went to SAS. So I was pretty much the next in line. And at that time being, you know, I didn't have any kids or anything. So I was ready to tour Europe flying the F-16 and pretty much did that. So initially you get this conversion where you fly with one of the old display pilots to just get a hold of the show that we were flying at that time. And my first tour was, in fact, going to Ubleton. I think it was, it must have been the 60th anniversary of Battle of Britain. So I was flying shows in Plymouth Harbor, or over Plymouth Harbor, and Biggin Hill at that time. And I had kind of a proudness of doing that, being like a representative of the Danish Air Force to go abroad and show what the F-16 was capable of. Also had 2 years in a row going to what is called just next to Brighton, one of the oldest airports in Britain.
I can't think of off the top of my head.
That's where Royal Air Force is holding their yearly stuff. Anyway, but we're not even able to land at that field, so we had to be another base to fly in and do the show, and then being brought back and forth in a small prop. But it was a thrill going there. You know, getting introduced. Oh, this guy. Say hello to him. He was flying in the Second World War and the First World War. And then a guy flying a Lancaster. Yeah, the rule was way worse than Berlin. Okay. And the next one was Berlin. You know, say hello. You know, being introduced to all those people who at that time had tried so much more than I had. So it was a thrill to be able to go out and do that. And especially flying at that place. Remember, it was kind of odd. You had, it wasn't like a normal Air Force base or anything. So you had to like change your show or display to be able to fly there. And that was also kind of fun to say, oh, how can I make this work without violating anything and stuff. So I had a lot of thrill going there, flying all those displays around. A lot of Britain, in fact, yeah. But also, you know, France, Germany, all kind of other places, Italy, around Europe. I had like a teammate, more or less. We were like two single guys from all, pretty much touring Europe thin at that time.
Wow. Yeah, lots of fun. So let's go into a bit of detail about the actual display, Matt. So how did you create the routine? Did you have like a standard set of maneuvers, or was it a blank sheet of paper and you could do what you want for that year?
Well, it was fairly fixed by the air command. So it was the same display we were flying for years, not like you see today where pilots kind of change it once in a while. It's pretty much up to right. Some of the display pilots. And we don't had like a, it wasn't a job that I only did. It was a job I did besides all the other things I did. So it wasn't like a display team like you see the Dutch had it, the Belgium had it, going around doing that. It was like you fly this display and you do it like when the need is there for an air show, and you had to practice like once a month maybe flying that. It wasn't that big a setup, when we went abroad, we went with the display jet, and we had a two-seater F-16 with like a SOF capable guy, supervisor flying the aircraft, and then a maintenance guy in the back seat. And then we went away to do that. So it was a fixed display, but still a nice display we were flying at that time. And you know, being on the ground, seeing a display, pretty much everything looks good. So you know, I would never do there's maneuvers I wouldn't do, like on the outside loop. I would probably kill myself doing that, but doing it, that's plenty. That looks, still looks damn good. But it was interesting and very nice knowledge to get to be able to fly the F-16 to the edge, because that's pretty much what you do, you know, slow flight, where if the engine says pop, you have like 2 seconds to get out of the jet and stuff. So flying as fast as it could, as slow as it could, as many G's as it could, as high AOA as it could. So I think, to be honest, that was in fact, and at that time I've flown F-16 for like 7 years, but it was first there I really got a hold of flying the F-16 to the edge.
So what was your favorite maneuver in the display for you personally?
Oh man, I liked a lot of them. Of course, the 9G turn, it was damn hard. It was no joy. I mean, it was pure survival, sitting there to stay awake. But I liked having a Sparrow climb with 150 knots at the max AOA. It was pretty impressive show of pure power stuff. So the inverted flight was also fun. But I think... what I really liked about it is like connecting all the maneuvers to make it look like one big flow. I mean, being aware if when I finish this maneuver, should I roll left or roll right to make the next maneuver seem more natural. Mm-hmm. So I really made an effort out of making it look like one big clean flow pretty much when I was flying. Mm-hmm. Instead of this maneuver and then this maneuver and then this maneuver, mm-hmm. just to make it look like that one continuously maneuver pretty much.
And I have to ask, was there much competition with the other European F-16 display teams?
Yeah, but there probably was, but we were pretty much aware that when we came to see the Dutch, which was a painted jet and he did nothing but the display and it was longer, faster, higher than ours. I mean, we had what the tactical air command in Denmark said, you should fly this. Okay, that's where we fly. And then we fly it as good as we can. So the Dutch and the Belgium had like this dedicated person or dedicated team going around Europe flying display. So with a painted jet and stuff. So it was what it was, but I don't envy them for anything, but I could just do the best I could to fly the display we had and make that look good.
And what was the social side of it like at air shows? That must have been great meeting with other, you know, the public and other display peer crews.
It was great. It was great. I met so many people around there and, you know, also from early squad rotations, some of the guys I met in Italy were now flying at Trecciloro. So I got a backseat ride with those guys, and I was meeting, as I mentioned earlier, Parky, who gave me a backseat ride in the Tornado F3. He was, after a tour with the Dutch F-16s, he came back to UK and was flying with the Red Arrows now. Met him to a lot of air shows and stuff. So you had kind of a bit of a community because it was the same guys you were seeing all the time when you were touring Europe. And, you know, there were always good after parties and a lot of fun. During those shows, so I really enjoyed going to all those air shows in Europe.
And was there maybe one or two air shows that stuck out in your mind that you, over your time displaying the aircraft, you were like, that was a really good show?
I think a lot of them was good. I remember when we were flying in Germany, they had kind of restrictions still after the accident in Ramstein. So I can't remember if you were not able to make a roll or, you know, some very basic maneuvers that didn't really make sense because it wasn't dangerous, it wasn't anything. So I was just playing the game and adjusting my display to whatever they wanted. I was there to fulfill a wish from the German Air Force. But I remember some other pilots with like probably a higher ego than myself that they don't gave a shit. They were just flying their own display as they used to and doing all those illegal maneuvers. But anyway, you know, I could mention a lot of air shows that I've been to, but of course the first one is always something that make a big impression. So flying to celebrate or whatever you would call the Battle of Britain as my first over Plymouth Harbour, it made kind of impression, and I was I was a bit proud. I remember being at the Manor Inn where we were staying in the evening, and turning on the telly, and I saw, in fact, myself flying there. There was a kind of report from that event saying, okay, obviously I made a kind of an impression to somebody. So, and it's also, I think, fun to think about if you count the numbers of the spectators that I mean, you've flown for. It's like, it's probably a million or more that have seen you've been flying the F-16 at some time. So yeah, I just hope people enjoyed it because I did, definitely.
And did you enjoy meeting the public, you know, the fans, aviation enthusiasts? And yeah, I don't know, did the Danes have a tent at the time, you know, with merchandise or anything like that?
Yeah, we were standing next to the jets pretty much, but, you know, doing all the talking, meeting all the people. And one fun thing, again, that kind of made an impression on me was, I think it was in Milton Hall where we're standing by the jets, and this old gentleman comes by and we talk, this is the F-16 and I can do this. Yeah, okay. I've been in service myself. I was only in the second wave of Overlord or D-Day. I was like, okay, I rest my case. And it's cool.
You win.
You were meeting a lot of interesting people going abroad. And, you know, when people want to hear what I can tell or what I can show, I mean, I just love to tell them. I'm not the guy coming into meeting other people and say, hey, now listen to me, I'm a fighter pilot stuff. But if people want to hear, I'd love to tell them.
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like you had a great time flying the F-16. Would you go back and change anything, or you're happy with everything you've done?
I'm happy with everything I've done, and I'm just thankful that I still fly F-16 until we don't have it anymore in Denmark, hopefully. So, and in fact, it's probably also due to I've done this for 30 years that I'm getting more and more thankful for every time I see it. Yeah. Knowing that, okay, the last flight is getting closer and closer.
We've got a couple of personal questions. One from one of our viewers, if you're happy to answer them, Matt.
Yeah.
So this is from Alexander Vatter. How competitive are the Danish Viper, in his opinions, in regard to other types in NATO?
I think that it was very, very clever that we made the midlife update. And, you know, when we got the midlife update in the late 90s, we had like the software version M1. And then we got the software version M2 and the M3 and M4 and M5 and M6. And now it's called S12. So it didn't stop in the late 90s. There was continuously progress in capabilities and development of software. And suddenly we got the helmet mounted queuing system, and we got some other missiles and other bombs, and the aircraft got the Link 16, which is like, if you want to be on the blue team, you better have Link 16, or else you're not going with us to town stuff. So it's been a constantly development of F-16 in the EPAF frame. So that said, it made the F-16 being a first-class fighter during almost 40 years now, or more than 40 years. So I never found myself in a situation saying, okay, I'd rather be flying something else here. Of course, now we are into fifth-gen fighters, and that's kind of a new sport, I guess. So if 16 was still like, it was your skills flying the jet that counted, where today I think that it doesn't count that much. I mean, it's more important how good are you to operate the systems. It's not flying skills that totally decide if you're going to be a winner or loser today. That's, of course, it still has something to say, but not in the same way as in the beginning of F-16. So it's getting more and more heavy on the being able to play the piano part.
Mm-hmm. And another one from our viewers, have you ever fought against an F-18?
Yes, I have. I've fought against it, and I've also got a backseat ride in it. I got a backseat ride. It was a Swiss F-18. I got a backseat ride in. And one thing that we should be aware of is that they are able to have a way higher angle of attack than we do. So what we don't want to be when we fight F-16 is being sloped with them. So again, being aware of where is your strong points and where is your weak points. So I would say F-18, of course, it's not as beautiful to look at as F-16, but it has some advantages in some areas, and we have some advantages in some areas. It's not like you can say, this jet is better than this jet. It depends on where do we meet each other.
What is the future of the Danish Air Force, and how long will the F-16 be in service?
Yeah, well, you know, it's changing times right now, so a lot of things is going on. But we've started implementing F-35 in the Danish Air Force, which is supposed to take over from F-16. So, but all the things that are going on, we'll definitely be flying F-16s a few years, but throttling down as the numbers of F-35s are increasing.
Thanks for the question there, guys. So just carrying on from a few personal ones from me. But Nick, can you tell us about your autobiography and where our viewers can find it online?
Yeah, I can. It kind of developed when we were going to Libya. I was sitting there, and I had become a dad at that point. I had twins, a boy and a girl, and they were about 4 years old. And I was sitting there with some letters I was supposed to write, you know, farewell letters, pretty much. Wow. And I found it extremely hard. Sitting there saying, okay, Isabella, Alexandra, I'm sorry I'm not here anymore. You should know I love you and stuff. I couldn't sit down and write anything to them. They were 4 years old, and I was pretty aware that those kids would never probably remember me, but they would see a picture and maybe hear a story once in a while. So I was kind of going out of the door to Libya, and I made this deal with my good friend that if I was not coming back, he was the guy who was going to open my locker, and there would be an envelope for him, and there would be a piece of paper. And I knew this guy, he knew all my friends, all my family, all colleagues, all the stuff. So he should take this piece of paper and make copies of it. And said, I met your dad the first time. And then guys and girls, they could write whatever their opinion of me was, good and bad. And the deal was, when my kids then grew up and like being 14, 15 years old, they would get this big kind of book almost with all those descriptions of me. So that kind of gave me like, okay, that's a good solution. If not going to get home, my kids will know who I am at a certain point when they grow up. And in the same moment, kind of, I could also write the same story or write my story. So I kind of began writing my story. And it was... like a really nice, good a cool process being in. You know, I didn't see even one Netflix series or anything for years. All my spare time I pretty much used in that. But being there, reflecting on all the things you've done in your life. And luckily enough, I had the small mainland calendars. I've had those since gymnasium, pretty much, writing, okay, this day I played football against this, and here I met her, and all that stuff. So I had like a whole skeleton that all dates and stuff was there. You should just fill on all the meat in. So writing, that was just a very cool process for me, reflecting on a lot of things. And it came in 2017. And in fact, we are talking about maybe writing it to the end now, to when F-16 don't fly anymore. So a new version might be coming up. So unfortunately, it's only in Danish. And it's, if you don't kind of cope with that language, you will definitely have a hard time going through that book.
Right. So to wrap up here, do you have any hobbies?
Yeah.
There you are.
I do. It's life.
Right.
Life is my hobby.
Brilliant. I've never heard that. That's a good one, mate. I like that. Favorite aircraft you've flown?
Oh, man. You know, I pretty much told you what I've flown, but I got a backseat ride in, to Tornado F3 and Mirage 2000 and Alpha Jet F18, a bunch of other aircraft. So, but I still would say that the best aircraft I've ever flown is F-16.
Good answer. Is there an aircraft you would like to fly, either past or present?
I think it could have been fun to try and fly the A-10 because it's so different, I think. Yeah. So, I know it's slow and ugly and all that stuff, but I think it would. I got to choose between the whole flight line, I would like to try to fly the A-10.
Great stuff. And finally, where can we find the book online and yourself online? Are you on Instagram, Twitter, anything like that?
Yeah, if you go on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube and put down F-16 MET, I would pop up somewhere, definitely. I have a Instagram page with a lot of F-16 pictures, also on the Facebook and stuff. So if you're into F-16s, then give it a shot.
Brilliant stuff. And all that will be linked in the description, folks. But Matt, thank you very much for coming on the show and sharing a bit about your story.
It was a pleasure, Mike. Have a good day.
Thank you.